KCH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Vice President Harris is heading to Michigan today, and former President Trump will be in Georgia after they both rallied supporters in Pennsylvania last night. With just 3 weeks until Election Day, more than 5 million Americans already casting their ballots.
While we don't know exactly who voted for whom yet, we do know that more likely Democrats are voting early than likely Republicans. Republicans have actually picked up their pace from 4 years ago. There were more Republicans voting early than last time around.
ABC News political director Rick Klein. Former President Trump again asking an appeals court to transfer his New York criminal case to federal court, reigniting an effort to stall his sentencing or throw out his conviction on 34 felony counts. A suspect under arrest in North Carolina accused of threatening FEMA workers, helping people recover from the recent hurricanes. After a $3 billion quarterly loss, Walgreens announcing it will close about 1,200 locations over the next 3 years. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Kamala Harris campaign blitzed Wisconsin Monday. Tim Walz was in Eau Claire and Green Bay.
One or two people in every precinct in Wisconsin or Michigan or Pennsylvania will be the difference.
First Lady Jill Biden stumped for Kamala Harris in Madison.
Another Trump administration would lead to more chaos, more greed, more division.
The election is in 3 weeks. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says he expects challenges to Wisconsin's election results. He tells WYSN-TV's Upfront that Wisconsin has safe and secure elections, and that his Justice Department is prepared to defend the results if it has to. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
A 60-year-old Barron County man is in jail after a weekend incident in which he allegedly pointed a gun at law enforcement and tried to ram an armored vehicle with a pickup truck. The sheriff's office said Joseph Pushick of New Auburn was taken into custody Saturday. According to a release, he was going to different homes looking for his child, pointing a gun at the people living there. The PDs found him at his home standing outside with a gun, which he had on him when he crashed a truck into a law enforcement vehicle. A Minnesota poultry processing company went under, leaving farmers in western Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa on the hook for feeding tens of thousands of chickens. Here in western Wisconsin, farmers decided to give the birds away with over 170,000 chickens to get rid of. As of Monday, 20,000 to 30,000 chickens still needed to be given away. Minnesota and Iowa state governments are providing emergency relief to farmers, but no such law exists in Wisconsin for this type of situation, leaving farmers on the hook for the feed bill.
For Civic Media News in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Bucks get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks held on to beat the Bulls 111-107 last night in Milwaukee. It was the Bucks' first win this preseason. Head coach Doc Rivers talked about the Bucks' new guard, Gary Trent Jr., and his ability at blocking passes.
Gary has great hands, unbelievable hands. You know, it's funny. He got whatever he got, but he had five more today that he just couldn't get to the ball. But he's a disruptor.
Packers say despite missing a field goal Sunday, they'll stick with place kicker Braden Narveson for now. College football, the Badgers' top wide receiver Will Pauling did not suffer a concussion in their win over Rutgers. Will he be ready to play Saturday against Northwestern?
You know, obviously it would be a little bit questionable from the start of the week. I think that there was some good news in that there wasn't a concussion. It wasn't anything that maybe is major of some sorts. So we just got to see where he is and how he feels. And like I said, it's early on right now.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A little chilly again today, mostly sunny. We'll get to 48 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear and cold, our low 23. Tomorrow, sunny, becoming breezy, 57 by Thursday. Sunshine with a high climbing back up to near 65. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, we'll look at how Team Trump's Project 2025 would have real Wisconsin impact, as in real harm, for education.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'd appreciate it if you vote for me. I want to be vice president.
Vote for me!
If I was vice president, know what I'd do? Pretty much anything I wanted to.
Vote for me! Vote for me!
By J.D. Vance.
It's
a guy named Joe Walsh. It's not J.D. Vance.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Before we change subjects, let's go to Jean from McClare. Good morning to you, Jean. You say what?
Good morning, guys. I just have to tell you, thank you for stopping his fascist rhetoric, because that's what fascism is go after your enemies. It's been so insulting to me and to all of us who listen to have to listen to his fascist rhetoric.
Okay, I don't know. Somehow we lost Gene. So, Sandy, I got another call from the National Harris campaign on yesterday, and they are more than concerned with, she'll be back in Milwaukee, I think, tomorrow. With what is a growing fear that a group of African-American males have decided to not vote for Kamala Harris. I spent quite a bit of time on this yesterday. Before we go to that's Rue from Ohio. Good morning to you, Ruth. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Yeah, well, so before we switch topics, you know, J.D. Vance has talked a lot about his, he takes great pride in being a Marine. But when he stands behind a candidate that talks about using the military to rounding up immigrants and taking down the enemy from within, it awfully seems a lot like this goes against posse comitatus. And I'm just curious to ask you and Sandy if this is really something that realistically could happen in the next Trump administration if it were to happen.
Well, the president is the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military, and the president takes an oath to uphold the Constitution, as does each member of the military. And I think that General Miley and others have asked the question themselves as to whether the military would follow the order from their commander-in-chief to do something like, for instance, exercise their military power against dissidents in the United States as being an order which ran contrary to the Constitution. But would there be people in the military, opportunists, for instance, who would be willing to take that order from the president? I suspect there would be. And so could this happen? My real fear is that it could happen, that the president could exercise his power as commander-in-chief, and that there would be those in the military who would honor the command, in spite of the question of whether it was consistent with the Constitution. And there we are. You know, so, you know, I think it is possible. I think it is.
You know, Sandy, the Democratic Party is more than concerned, and this has hit them like a ton of bricks last week and in these 3 weeks that are left, that they're concerned about the African-American males who they had considered to be safe. Choosing now public to go public and say that we're considering not supporting Kamala Harris and the Democrats. And I've had conversations with a nephew and a cousin who don't want to vote for Kamala Harris. And they are coming up with what I think are just absolutely ridiculous reasons and rationale why they either they didn't say they're going to vote for Donald Trump, but they said they're not going to vote.
Well, you know, like I said, I think Donald Trump has tapped into anger. And I think that angry people, if you turn on the reptilian anger button, you turn off the rationale, the rational part of your brain that's actually going to think through the process, because you're frightened, you're angry. And I think that there are certainly a large number of people in the black community who are angry at the situation they're in, and frustrated by the situation they face. And some of those people, I guess, are willing to tap that angry button and to then allow some other thought process to let them migrate towards Donald Trump. Donald Trump, I think, has established a brand that is intended to be very macho, okay? If you're very macho and if you are a declared individualist, then Donald Trump is appealing to you. Why? I don't know. It could be his swashbuckling demeanor. It could be the fact that he exercises a lifestyle that's above the law and above all norms. It could be the fact that he talks in a manner that is extremely misogynistic, but very male in its approach. But all of that blended together, I think, is causing a substantial number of Americans to vote against their interest. And certainly, black males who decide that they want to line up and vote for Donald Trump, or are going to vote against, not vote for Kamala Harris and cast at least half a vote in that basis for Donald Trump, are operating against their interest, because she's already announced policies. The Biden administration has already implemented policies, many of which are aimed at trying to solve some of the problems that are faced by and could be the reasons for the anger experienced by black males.
So this is the Wall Street Journal this morning, and it basically says Kamala has a political problem winning the support of young black men. And on Monday, she issued a last minute SOS by unveiling an opportunity agenda for black men. At least she's not accusing them of sexism as Barack Obama did last week, but a grab bag of policies isn't likely to pull many from Donald Trump. So let me first say that, yes, there is a segment, apparently, and I didn't see it initially, of black men who are not happy with what has happened in this country, where they are. Life has been difficult for many of them. And, our nation doesn't have the greatest pass in being fair and equitable to black men. And so when I have these conversations with them, I say to them, I can't argue with you about whether or not our nation has been on the up and up as it relates to you. I lived through in the same nation that you've lived in and during a different time period than you. And so, yes, frustration and anger is warranted because things still are not right. They haven't been right. They haven't ever been right. And whether there's a Democrat or Republican in office, things don't improve for black males. So it's hard to have that conversation with them and say, well, you know, the Democrats are going to make it better for you. How can the Democrats possibly make it better? There is no magic wand.
Well, I think that what one has to analyze is the reason why we've gotten to this place. And part of it has to do with Washington not being able to do anything, okay? That the presidents get elected, and typically when they get elected, they have 2 years in which they have the Congress in their on their party side. They have the Senate and the House of Representatives and the White House all lined up with very slim majorities. So the filibuster is there to stop progress in any case. But if you can overcome the filibuster, you have to do whatever you're going to do in 2 years, because after that, the opposing party can stand in the way of essentially doing anything. And so you end up with executive orders being the only pathway towards activity during the second 2 years of a presidency. And so it's the structure of our government and that has played a big role in the paralysis, which has caused government not to be able to respond. Secondly, our government's policies evolved after World War II in a manner which, by the year 2000 and thereafter, has left Tom, Dick, and Mary with and Tom and Dick, if we're talking about males now, with benefits like health care, education costs, retirement costs, all after they get their paycheck instead of before they get their paycheck, and so you know that's been a big difference as well. And what surprises me is that pushing the anger reptilian button can turn people's brains off to the point where they ignore the fact that this candidate is using the race card openly, okay? And the race card he's using is not one that's intended to be beneficial to African Americans.
Well, you know, Sandy, it's no secret that the American middle class has been steadily shrinking in the past 50 years. The share of Americans living in middle-class households dropped from 61% to 52% between 1971 and 1924, according to the Pew Research Center. Wisconsin has not been immune to the trend. Metropolitan areas like Milwaukee are seeing some of the fastest rising rents in the country, while food insecurity is rising statewide, particularly among young people. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax on everyday products. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. Matinair on Air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matinair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy. So, Sandy, we talk about the median income in this nation being $72,000. The Pew Research found middle-class households in Milwaukee earn between $31,247 and $93,000.
Yeah, because I think you said that they define the middle class as being two-thirds of the median income.
Two-thirds of the median income.
Is the lowest end of it. So that means the median income in Milwaukee for a household is $45,000 or $46,000, whereas the median income that we found
is $72,000.
Is over $72,000 for the state. So the city of Milwaukee has got a much different experience in terms of its income, and the median income means half the families live below that 46,000 level. And when we do the budget for a family
in Milwaukee, let's
46,000 in Milwaukee would be an impossible income in order to make ends meet. It would be impossible. If you have to buy health care, if you have to pay insurance, that's something like an average, I mean, rent. You have to pay rent that's on the average.
Transportation, 18,000, food.
The transportation costs, $11,000 to $12,000 a year for an automobile, and that's not a new automobile. All-in costs, insurance, gasoline costs.
And repairs, because it's going to be an old car.
But so you end up with the cost of child daycare being prohibitive, health care costs, rent costs totaling $36,000, the two of them, okay? You're not supposed to spend more than 30% of your income on housing, 30% of $45,000.
So, Sandy, let's talk about that number, $31,000.
Well, that's two-thirds of it, right?
Right.
But two-thirds of it means that there's people who live, $45,000 is where the middle of family lives. Half of the families live below 45,000 in Milwaukee. You're getting 32,000 reaches the poverty level.
So when we're talking about black men, that's their reality.
Right.
And they're saying, hey, How we can't get out of this. And nobody's talking about us. And so when I talk with them, they're saying, we're just totally forgotten. Nobody's saying anything about us, but yet they want us to vote. This is the conversation that's being had. And so to that, the Democrats and Kamala Harris have tried to put a package together as quickly as they could once they realized that this is out there and a bigger issue than they could have ever dreamt about, and it's coming to them.
Well, I think they knew it was there, but I think that the issue is the extent to which government can actually cure the problem, right? I mean, so the Republican solution is to point at the family and say, it's all about the families, and we're going to install religion to support the families, and that's what we think will solve this problem, along with getting rid of the public education system and setting up charter schools. So they would allege that they're doing something about it with stuff that's non-governmental, essentially. But the fact is that this is a socioeconomic problem, and poverty is driving it. Okay, and the lack of a pathway to success is driving it. And it's destroying families, and it's destroying all kinds of things. But I think the realization is that the government needs to work on addressing it. And I think that the only party that has faced up to that is the Democratic Party.
They've attempted to do something. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Earl, I got a lot to say, so I hope you'll keep me on for a second. One, Donald Trump says what he said. Just remember, the Supreme Court has already given him the okay to do all that. And if he gets into office, he'll even put more Supreme Court justices in there that will have our dictatorship for the next generation or more. Second is that, remember the old saying where they came from me and there was no one there to help me because all the other people were gone. I hope that people like CJ and people like that remember that, because that'll be for your family and your grandchildren, that probably will happen too. So I hope you would reconsider your vote and vote for the Democrats. As far as this thing with the black voters, I feel like the country and the media and everyone are setting this up so they can blame black men if this, if the Democrats don't win the election. And I think that's really unfair, because the thing is, I think that the majority of black men are actually going to vote for Kamala Harris. There may be a segment of them that aren't, but I don't think that they should be the fall guy for all of this stuff like the media does every time. Blame the blacks. That seems like it's always their fallback answer. I understand there's concerns there. But if people really want to do something about this, you would want to elect Democrats up and down the ballot for the House and the Senate. I don't think people in this country understand three branches of government. Three branches of government is what makes us a democracy. Donald Trump wants an authoritarian dictator. If you guys want for someone just to destroy democracy and be a dictator, then I guess that's what you'll get. But if you really want to have this problem solved, elect Democrats in a majority so maybe they can get some of their stuff through that they've actually proposed.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Al, hang on. 855-752-4842 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
I love the country, but I can't stand the scene. And I'm neither left or right. I'm just staying home tonight, getting lost in that hopeless little screen. But I'm stubborn as those garbage bags of time cannot decay. I'm junk, but I'm still holding up this little wild bouquet. Democracy is coming to the USA.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 94 Red Cross staff and volunteers from Wisconsin are helping with Hurricane Milton cleanup. The Red Cross says if you can't volunteer, the next best way to help is to donate money. You can learn more about ways to help on the Red Cross website. A recent poll finds Donald Trump leading Kamala Harris among likely rural voters in 10 battleground states, but that lead has dropped from March to September. Sarah Janes is with the Rural Democracy Initiative, which took the poll.
People want to make sure that they have the tools and opportunities to create a good life for themselves and their families, and that shows up in their support for childcare and health care.
Janes says the biggest concerns for rural voters are the economy, threats to democracy, and reproductive rights. The poll was taken in August and September. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Tonight will be the first widespread hard freeze across northwestern Wisconsin. Temperatures are expected to drop into the low 20s and teens, especially locations east of the Wisconsin-Minnesota border. Temperatures along the St. Croix River, for example, will be about 5 to 10 degrees warmer than places further east, such as Hayward and Ladysmith. On average, our part of the state usually sees its first hard freeze in mid-October. The cool weather the next couple of days will give way to highs in the upper 60s and 70s later this week.
Minnesota Governor and Democratic Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz visited students at UW-Eau Claire yesterday. Walz encouraged people attending to get out and vote. Senator Tammy Baldwin joined Walz at the stop. First Lady Jill Biden spoke in Madison last night, and later this week, Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris will be in Wisconsin on Thursday with stops in La Crosse, Milwaukee, and Green Bay. No details have yet been announced for any of those stops. The November election is 3 weeks from today.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Succession star Jeremy Strong does not miss being on the popular show. That might surprise some people, as it was an immensely popular show and won a slew of awards. Oftentimes, it is mentioned as one of the best TV shows ever. Strong says he owes a lot to Succession, but the show messed him up. Strong says carrying the troubles of his character Kendall Roy for 7 years was almost too much. How much is too much? When asked if he would consider a spinoff where his character would be the star, he said it is not something he wishes to do. When an actor is willing to turn down millions of dollars, I tend to believe them. The film The Apprentice, about the life of Donald Trump and starring Sebastian Stan, has been given mostly good reviews, but it is getting torched by one critic in particular, who called it a politically disgusting hatchet job made by human scum. Any idea who that critic might be? Former President Donald Trump slammed the film, but it's doubtful many people saw his post because it was on Truth Social. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A little chilly again today, mostly sunny. We'll get to 48 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear and cold, our low 23. Tomorrow, sunny, becoming breezy, 57 by Thursday, sunshine with a high climbing back up to near 65. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
The Todd Alba Show.
Some group of kids from Stevens Point were using racial slurs against black and mixed race players on the Eau Claire North team. Let's go to Joe. What's he?
One of the things that makes this state great is the legacy of Vince Lombardi. He tells his players, you are all equal on my team. Vince Lombardi would never have tolerated that sort of behavior, and he's one of our heroes.
Joe, as you always do, you nailed it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 389, based here in Milwaukee. They have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz for president and vice president.
Trump offers nothing to a regular working class person. Talking about not taxing tips and not taxing overtime. Well, you don't have to tax overtime if there is no more overtime. That's in his Project 2025.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, overtime. With Maggie Dawn, plus the Wall Street Journal poll of economists back Harris's ideas, and Bob Woodward said Trump tried to reinstate himself 6 months after losing the election. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
There you go.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. I mean, it's Tuesday. This is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
It's all about voting. 3 weeks to vote. Register to vote. Get out and vote.
It is. I'm telling you, it's kind of frightening. It's only 3 weeks away. Let's go to Ray from Wisconsin. Good morning to you, Ray. You say what?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is the first time I've ever heard your show, and very impressed with the conversation.
Well, thank you, sir.
I'm an independent, and I have not yet made up my mind who to vote for. And I'm hoping that I can get some answers from you guys that will help me help me through an issue that I see, and I just don't know how to get over it.
Well, listen.
And that is.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, sir.
No. Go ahead, sir. We're honored to have you. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, so this is one of the issues that I've seen and that I'm struggling with, right, is that, you know, Kamala Harris was picked by Joe Biden. She's never had any Democratic constituents support, basically. She dropped out of the primary before Iowa, and now she's on the ticket to be the presidential candidate. And I'm having a hard time. I don't know. I just feel like the Democratic Party has circumvented all of their voters by this happening. I'm trying to get over that, because I feel like if we are a true democracy, that the base Democratic Party would have given their people the choice over the candidate, because we knew Biden was losing or not going to be able to do it the second term.
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, because it doesn't really go to the merits of the candidates. It goes to you have a process issue. She was nominated for and elected vice president, so that was a national election that included the nomination process, included the Democratic process. It was the Democratic Party's process. And the party processes for selecting presidential candidates wouldn't need to include primaries. It could just be a convention. And in fact, it has only trended in the direction of having primaries in all these states more recently. The process used to be much more convention-based, where people would elect delegates in their state, and the delegates would go off and choose a president. And if you've lived as long as I have, I watched party conventions in the 1950s in which you didn't know who the candidate was going to be going into the convention, and only coming out of the convention did you know. So I'm just surprised that the process would be more important than measuring the merits of the candidates. And I would just urge you to understand that each party is free to use its own process for selecting candidates, and the Democrats used their process, and they did have a convention. The convention did elect her. No one else decided to run against her when the issue came up, and so now we have the two candidates, and now we've got them the merits of those two candidates to weigh against one another. I guess that's all I could urge you to think about.
So, sir, let me ask you, why would that be more important than a man who we know is unstable? And a man who is threatening democracy as we know it? Why would that process be more important than what we are faced with in putting Donald Trump in office?
So this is kind of where I look at it, and I say, you know, and I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't like Trump. I do not like that man. But yet I'm voting. You know, I'm looking at it that I'm voting for policies. One thing that is, you know, and this is the reason why the process concerns me is that democracy is the choice by the people. And I understand that, you know, each party can choose their own way. But I do believe JFK Jr. or RFK Jr., whatever his name was, actually wanted to get on the ticket on the Democratic Party, but they sued him not to. Now, what I have a hard time with this is the fact that for 3.5 years, Kamala Harris's popularity was lower than Joe Biden's. And now we've got her on the ticket, and all of a sudden it's higher than Joe Biden's. But yet I'm not hearing any policies that she said.
Okay, so hold on. So, sir, let me say, when I hear that, and I know you're an honest man and a fair man, but I don't know how that is more important than the inherent dangers of a man who's making the kind of threats that Donald Trump is making, and a guy who all of those cabinet members that he had before have said,
"Well, look
it's a danger. It's a danger if you vote for him." How do those things you're talking about supersede the inherent threat that we've heard from those who were in, you know, in the cabinet of Donald Trump before? How come those things don't matter?
And before you answer, let me just speak, because I think he was asking for reasons why he should vote for Kamala and not reasons he should vote against Donald Trump, even though there are many. So let me just say, though, but sir, I think, for instance, saying that she hasn't talked about any issues when in fact, I think I can go down a long litany of issues she has talked very specifically about. On immigration, she has said that she would sign on day one the bipartisan bill that was passed or would have been passed in Congress, but for Donald Trump's opposition to it. She has given some real meat and potatoes on the kind of policy she would adopt with respect to promoting small businesses, tax policy. She's actually given detail on every element of policy that she's just talked about, whereas Donald Trump has only talked about the fact that he'll fix it. He'll describe something that's broken, and then he says he'll fix it. The only specifics I've heard have been across the board tariff of between 10 to 20% and a much more significant size tariff on all things Chinese. When you know, that policy has been analyzed by Wall Street and by others as being, one, inflationary, and two, something that will increase the cost of everything for Tom, Dick, and Mary, without bringing in the kind of revenues that he's talked about. So I guess I would just challenge you to look at the policies that have been enunciated by Kamala Harris and compare it to the level of specificity on policies that have been enunciated by Donald Trump.
Okay, let's talk about immigration, because this is what's confusing me, is that when they first got in office, when Biden and Harris first got in office, there wasn't a big immigration policy. And I remember hearing it on the news that there were executive orders signed, and I don't know which ones. I know there was a bunch of them that were signed. We've had an issue with immigration out of control for 3 years.
Well, sir, wait, let's get facts accurate, because we've had a situation with immigration being out of control since 2000. And there was an effort by the George Bush, the second administration, to set up a commission, a bipartisan commission, to try and deal with it. Washington didn't deal with it. The first 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency included the same level of presentations at the border as have occurred during the Biden administration. The only thing that changed was when the pandemic came, Donald Trump was able to use the pandemic as the public safety issue that allowed him to issue an executive order that essentially put an embargo on immigration. And the current 2 years, the last 2 years of Biden have had the same level of presentations, and right now the level is way down.
So I'm sorry, sir. We've got to let you go. We've got a full bank of calls. Thank you very much. Look, you can call anytime. Hope we were able to help you. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. You say what?
Thank you very much.
Al, you got to turn your radio down. Al, let's go to Jack from Merrimack.
yeah.
these folks that, that call in and just parrot the talking points of the extremists.
Yes.
Be aware, be afraid of of immigration. Harris has no policy statement. I mean, the falsehood are just, you know, they've been brainwashed. I'm sorry. That's the only thing I can think of. That is why I call in, however. I want to go back to something that you had stated a while back, which is you pointed out basically since Reagan's trickle-down economic scam, the middle class has decreased from nearly two-thirds of us to fewer than half of us. And here the biggest problem I see is the ability of Trump to direct anger at anyone but the real culprits. He's directed it at immigrants. They're going to steal your jobs. They're going to force your kids out of college. They're going to rape your wife and daughter. He's directed it at the LGBTQ community. He's directed it at the so-called communist democratic politicians, while even himself cozying up to Putin. How he gets away with that stuff, I don't know. In fact, he continually lies and blames anyone and any group but what the real evildoers are. And the media, even the legitimate media, keep helping him. They put out clips of his most outrageous lies without any kind of fact check. Even civic media allows this to happen. The anti-Baldwin ads, have you listened to those at all? They say Baldwin wants children to have,
yes,
transgender operations.
But civic media has no control over, you know, what commercials are being played. And neither does television or any of those people. They have a right to free speech.
That's true, but I would say add a caveat after that ad is over, just a simple statement. These are not facts. They are lies. That's all you have to do. Anyway, this of course, you know, this kind of an attack ad is basically saying Tammy's gay. Be very, very afraid, much as the racist ads attack Mandela Barnes by saying black man. Be very afraid. What Trump hasn't directed in his presentations, I guess I'd call them, is the real perpetrators, and that is, and this is where I'm going with this. It's the rich and the rich corporations. They kept the minimum wage from rising. They have fought against and collective bargaining by their workers, who are in fact responsible, of course, for their getting rich. They manipulate the price of food, fuel, other necessities, price gouging, while blaming so-called inflation. And of course, the obstructionist politicians, he's not going to blame those, because guess what party? And they abuse the system, and they're not even mentioned. And they use their power to suppress votes and attack the middle class and the workers of this country.
Hey, Jack, there's nothing you said that I disagree with. Nothing. And even though Ray, who called earlier and said he's an independent, you know, you can find all kind of reasons, Sandy, to say, or they can say that I can't support Kamala Harris. I can't support her for whatever reason. I can't support her because today is Tuesday and I don't like Tuesdays. But in the face of everything that Donald Trump has done and is doing, to focus on her and say, well, I can't support her because of this, when the real threat is right before you and you totally dismiss that.
Well, I think
I don't follow that.
I don't know Ray, but I would guess that Ray has more commonly than not voted Republican and is trying to come to grips with and asking questions to help himself solve for the notion that he might not in this election vote Republican. And wants to talk about the excuses that have been provided to him to vote for Donald Trump and against Kamala in spite of his worries.
All right, guys, hang on. We'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
So, Sandy.
Yeah.
Because we want to get these callers in, I don't want to let this go too long. What is that?
It's Jimi Hendrix playing the Star Spangled Banner with his guitar upside down and left-handed.
All right, and that's certainly talking about the elections.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do this. I want to go and read a couple texts from PJ. PJ says, don't like Trump, but voting for policy. What policy? Only I'm not hearing Kamala's policy. Pay attention, sir. Trump has a concept. Immigrants, so scary. Bet dollars to donuts that the caller's surname comes from a foreign land. Okay, so anyway, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
I'm actually amazed at 2024 when people who have credibility, honesty, morals will even consider that things are so bad. We need a man with 34 felony convictions, multiple sexual predator convictions, two impeachments, 11 bankruptcies. This is what we need to raise up our country. If that isn't enough to say this man should be disqualified. I was fortunate because of my dad, I met Dwight Eisenhower. What do you think Dwight Eisenhower would say to Donald Trump? What do you think John F. Kennedy would say? He'd be incarcerated now. He wouldn't even be viable to hold a possibility of the highest office in the land. This is disgusting for America to have somebody so obnoxious and not qualified to even carry on an intelligent conversation. I can't comprehend of it, but thanks for bringing it to
Bill,
everybody.
Hey, Bill, I think you said it well. I couldn't have said it any better. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Charles from Milwaukee. Good morning, Charles. You say what?
Hey, good morning, guys. I don't believe Ray was an independent at all. He had all the Republican talking points. And when he said that he didn't like Donald Trump, he didn't say anything negative about Donald Trump except that he don't like him. But all of a sudden, Kamala Harris, she has no policy. She talks about her policies every single day. And that's another narrative they put out there was, well, Kamala Harris' popularity. Well, her popularity was down because Republicans made sure they tried to spin it. Well, this is Kamala Harris' administration. What is she doing? We don't hear from Kamala Harris. The only reason we heard from Mike Pence as much as we did because Donald Trump had him out there talking about COVID every day. Otherwise, you don't hear from the vice president. Yeah, I don't think Ray is an independent. Ray was just a smooth Republican. Unlike CJ, I was able to call in and get the talking points out there. Yeah, because like I said, he said nothing negative about Donald Trump. Here's a man that every time he talks, it's something hateful and negative. I've never heard Donald Trump say one thing about bringing America together.
Hey, Charles.
The people of this country together.
Charles, very well said as well. You know, Sandy, he's pointing out, because you hear that these people say, I don't like Donald Trump. He's not a good guy, but Kamala Harris.
Well,
so what is that?
Well, and the but usually involves policy, okay? But policies, okay? But I favor policies. And there's only two policies that he talks about, tariffs and immigration. And Kamala Harris has come all the way in the direction of being tight on immigration, okay? And whatever Joe Biden was doing on immigration, and they want to paint Kamala Harris as being some kind of a policymaker during the Biden administration. I don't think they ever wanted to paint Michael Pence as a policymaker during the Trump administration, because vice presidents don't make policy.
So, Sandy, I would say this, and this is the absolute truth, that, and I can only speak for me. If there's somebody running for office that I don't like, I'm not saying I'm going to vote for that person because somebody else's policy I don't like. If I don't like a person.
No, but they're saying.
So why am I voting for that person?
Well, they say they're going to vote for Donald Trump because they like his policies. I'm simply saying that he's not promising anything that's good for Tom, Dick, and Mary. And his policies aren't that different. Other than now he's talking about rounding up immigrants with the military. But his tariff policy is actually dangerous, according to Wall Street and economists.
If I don't like you, I'm not even listening to your policies. If you're somebody that I detest, why would I agree with your policy?
Well, you know, I can't speak for why other people do things.
I know, this is what I'm saying, though.
But we have a bunch of people who are in that position, or apparently they say they're in that position. Maybe they don't really detest Donald Trump. But the fact is that if we want to get down to a policy discussion, I think Kamala Harris welcomes that. I welcome that, because I think a policy discussion that compares the policies that are being projected by both candidates vastly favor the policies projected by Kamala Harris.
Been talking about the policy thing ever since she came in 3 months ago.
I know, but she's now painted the policy.
I know, but they're still saying, where's her policy? They'll do that until 3 weeks from now, until after the election is done. And so she didn't have any policy. That's why I didn't support her. But thank you, Sandy, as always. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. You know, up next, Matt Nair, on air with Greg Madnair and Greg Bott and Jane Madnair. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you tomorrow.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I've got Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin's 2nd District. We're going to be talking about what's at stake for you economically in the upcoming election. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.